At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, where the truth meets intention. I'm your host, Edna White, your life purpose strategist. So are you ready to keep it real? Great, because we have a great guest today by the name of Dave Martin. And he's inspiring to us because Dave Martin is a renowned entrepreneur, CEO, and author of Mega Thinking. Dave has been instrumental in guiding countless leaders to think strategically and lead effectively. I hope that we dive in this episode with some strategies for our mindset so we can be fueled for success. Welcome, David.
It's a pleasure to be here, Edna.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm glad to have you here because one of my favorite words is strategy. Everything needs a strategy. So let's talk about your book. Tell us a little bit about, you know, being an author of this Make a Thinking book.
I have been taught by my parents and then high school, college, and, you know, subsequent in business that people need to have an organized way to think, and many people don't. Some do.
Right.
And yeah. So I actually learned about the concept that is the thesis of the book, Mega Thinking, in okay. my freshman year in college when I was taking Physics 101. And it's a very difficult course, and I was challenged by it, even though I had gotten straight A's in high school. And I found a person that knew it better than me, and he gave me a technique called Megaseps, which is basically finding the greatest thoughts on any topic. And so if you go to two lectures in physics and you have a notebook with 15 pages of notes, that's not thinking. That's just recording. That's putting into memory. You have to think about it. And so the book's thesis is that you can take any topic, running a company, running a nonprofit, running a country, being a parent to teenagers, anything, being a college student, and whatever the topic it is that you'd like to think better about, you can refine down to 10 or fewer greatest thoughts on that topic. And the book illustrates that in three ways. It reshares some of my actual life experiences with the leaders that I coached, and that's in the book, to demonstrate the greatest thoughts on different topics, how to raise money for venture capital. Then it talks about how authorities in major topics in the world over the millennia, top eight religions of the world, top seven forms of government, top three branches of science, that if you research those and find the greatest thoughts on each of those, they prove that 10 or fewer greatest thoughts really capture your thinking. 10 commandments for Christianity, the Bill of Rights, the 10 for the U.S. Republic. Then I, most importantly, because I didn't want it to be obtuse to how you do it, I took six actual people and asked them to apply the process, which is a four-step process that's pretty simple but pretty powerful. And they applied that four-step process to their topic. So there was a mother who wanted to be a better mother to her teenagers, a college student who wanted to pick the right major for his career, someone who wanted to get better at interpersonal relationships, someone who wanted to learn to be a better leader, someone who wanted to know more about and become knowledgeable about AI, which is so big, and someone who wanted to understand more about medical errors in the world. Medical errors is one of the three largest killers of people in the world after So what I learned in writing it was it's powerful because actual people then applied it, and that's what captured in various chapters of the book. And my goal is simple. I've gotten a lot out of life, in my career, my family, friends. I've given a lot back through money and, you know, various causes. And I wanted to give back what maybe is the most valuable thing I could give back, which is enough experience to believe that thinking can be done better by everybody. And if you think better, your life is better. What people kind of lose when they think about thinking is it can be intimidating or so on. But if you look at the three levels of thinking, subconscious, the brain, is the only reason we're alive. Subconscious thinking keeps us alive. Number two, simple decision-making thinking every day, you know, getting dressed, going to the store, commuting to your work, taking care of the kids. That's stuff that we normally kind of do to a routine level and normally pretty well. But the minute you get into a little more complex subject, like the ones I mentioned that we have chapters in the book in, then you have to think in a much more structured, organized way to really think smartly. And the minute you do that, thinking no longer becomes a complex and intimidating subject, it actually becomes a lot of fun, and it becomes a source of satisfaction, because all of a sudden you feel empowered to think smarter. And when you think smarter, you feel better.
Well, that's good. I like that. When you think smarter, you feel better. So take us through one of your clients on, you know, someone that you kind of learned from. I know you said that you had a few people that you've done this with. So take us through the steps for that, you know, just to think smarter in any subject.
So let's take a live example. I'm executive chairman and coach to a company that is in the healthcare software business. And their product, their software, is used by doctors, nurses, and PAs in hospitals to access best practices on how to diagnose and take care of patients. And the best practices are stored in the cloud, and they can, through their cell phone or a PC, access it by the bedside. So it's live, what's called clinical decision support. Okay. It turns out that lots of money flows from venture capitalists into lots of startups, and I've been involved with hundreds of those over the decades. This one was particularly difficult because there's an impression that the medical profession doesn't like to absorb new technology to help them do their job. Okay. It's partly psychological and partly, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's already made out. I know how to diagnose and treat a femur fracture.
Right.
And so what we've done is apply the four-step process. The four-step process is basically first capture your best thoughts, greatest thoughts on whatever the topic is. Second, ask for input from people you trust and respect as maybe having valid input on the same subject. Third, then do very, very selective incremental research, you know, Google or ChatGPT these days. Mm-hmm. And then fourth, finalize what that list looks like, the greatest thoughts. Okay. And again, each one of the six in the book I mentioned. So what we did was apply this process to how to optimize raising venture capital of $15 million for this medical technology company. And thinking through what's the number one reason why a venture capitalist would invest or an investor would invest, and then writing that down and really capturing it as a point, and then going down the list, and we ended up with a total of eight. And then putting that into how you position to investors is an example. And the CEO founder, who's a world-renowned pediatric surgeon, his name is Marty Eichelberger. He's also the founder of Safe Kids Worldwide, which is an enormous organization that raised $350 million from people like General Motors and Johnson & Johnson to provide preventative health for kids. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing guy. And all of a sudden, his lights came on because his background was medicine and an extraordinary surgeon, but he never really thought through raising money and that sort of thing. So the benefit of a structured approach is not only that you get to the greatest thoughts, which you should focus on, like the Ten Commandments, but it also gets you now to be able to really be an expert at applying them to whatever the subject is. In this case, applying them to knocking on venture capital doors. Okay. And I could go through, I've done this for 24 CEOs as a coach. I've done it for probably 120 board members of the companies, probably 200 of leaders underneath the CEO that I spent time with. And the hit rate for the aha moment, wow, it sounds simple, but if I just do the four steps, it's powerful. One of the things I try to do in the book is demystify thinking, and so anybody can read the book and apply it. And if you think about it, some of the most powerful and important subjects can be broken down into fairly simple expressions. One that's kind of extraordinary is the theory of relativity is incredibly complex and requires Einstein-like knowledge to even begin to
For sure.
And lo and behold, he captures it into E equals MC squared.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so if you're considering becoming a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist, and you want to kind of research those religions, if you say Christianity and Judaism can be really understand if you simply read the Ten Commandments, make them the greatest thoughts, and not just read them, but dig into them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
What does that really mean? Then, if you read the Bible or a chapter of the Bible, or if you read a book on Christianity, you have a framework. You have a framework of thinking and understanding that allows you to be smarter.
Right. I like that concept about, you know, just not reading something, but actually digging into it, you know, because we always read something and we just read it like surface, like, you know, it's like, and we don't really delve into it.
And it's even harder as time goes on, because when I was growing up, there was no internet, there was no, you know, if you take, a Gen Z person, 0 to 22 years old, and think about what they were immersed into with just infinite information being thrown at them. They really are information overload. One of the things that I think your listeners could do that sounds really, again, overly simplistic, but since the 40s, when computing became significant for society, and has gotten obviously even more significant to the point where AI now is going to affect everything. The computing model is extraordinarily simple, and it's never changed. You have a box.
Yes.
Coming in the left side of the box is an arrow that says input.
Yes.
At the bottom of the box is storage or memory.
Right.
At the right side of the box is an arrow going out saying output.
Yes.
And in the middle is something called processing. So if you take input and you just put it into memory, we do that all the time as a human being, just put it into memory. Try to remember what you wrote down about some book. Or if you just take the input and turn it out into an output, you're not thinking. So if you use that computer model and say, I'm going to take anything I get as input, and I'm going to think about it before I store it away or send it.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
It sounds overly simplistic, but again, simple things can be powerful.
Absolutely.
If people just thought about that model and said, I'm not doing enough processing on the input and output or storage, they'll make great inroads to think smarter.
Yeah, they will. I'm so with you on that, because I don't make impetuous decisions anymore. Someone like a call me, like something just as simple as you said, someone like that's selling something. Sometimes we make such impetuous decision. That's why scammers are so prevalent. It's because we're like, yeah, that sounds great, but we don't even think it through, think the process through, take the information and like disseminate it. What does it mean? How does it apply? You know, and do all the things that we need to do to critically think about something.
Let's go back to the mother of teenagers and wanting to be a better mother.
Okay.
Because it illustrates your point. So let's assume that all mothers want to be the best mothers they can be. That's probably not true. That's probably not true, but that's, you know, start there. And so what you normally do to think about being better at being a parent, and specifically for teenagers, is you think a little bit, you talk to your spouse, maybe you talk to some friends, and then you kind of just say, well, I got to do this and this, and that's good. But if you take this more structured process and say, I sit down, and I have had all kinds of input over the years about being a parent from my own experience, from my spouse, from my friends. It's all in there. It's down in storage in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, before I do anything else, I'm going to think about the greatest thoughts about being a parent to a teenager. And I'm going to write them down. And I'm going to force myself to be very specific. Number one, you need to give them a time and the maturity to do things independently. You can't dictate everything. I'm inventing it. So if you take that teenage mother example, this is a live teenage mother. Her name was Jane, and is Jane, but she's not identified specifically. And what she ends up through the process, she ended up with a list of 9 powerful new greatest thoughts for her to be the best parent to her teenager. She put them on the mirror, put them on a copy of that on her mirror. She shared those with her kids and her spouse. Mm-hmm. She shared that with other friends. She put it into her iPhone. And so the benefit of the process is getting it structured to the point where you don't just say, well, I thought this before and I'm not sure what was wrong. You have an audit trail of your thinking. Right. And that way, if you have new inputs that you think are relevant from friends or whatever, then you can say, well, I thought that, and I'm going to tweak that this way. And so it's not only a way to think, right, it's a way to remember better in a structured way. And it's a way to communicate. In this case, you communicate your thoughts to your kids, to your husband, and so on.
Right. That's good. Are there any specific habits or practices that you believe contribute to that effective thinking?
You know, that's a great question. I try to address that in the book a little bit, but it's awfully difficult to generalize that. If I were to take my most relevant coaching direct experience, it's those hundreds of leaders that I coach. So if I use them to answer your question, the ones that think the smartest before they have any guidance or coaching from me or anybody else are those that are the better participative leaders. And participative leadership is a whole branch of leadership. It's a type of leadership. And the basic principle of participative leadership is you never make decisions dictatorially yourself, independent of others. Whoever your team is, you participate with them in sharing what the decision is, needs to be, what their thoughts are. You spend a lot more time listening than preaching and talking. Right. Listening, asking questions. And so the ones that are kind of natural better thinkers from the leader group are those. The ones that are the worst are, types that are almost psychological. I've been there, done that. Don't confuse me with the facts. Yeah. This is what we're going to do. If I'm not decisive by asking other people things about a decision, I won't be considered a strong leader. I'll be considered weak. I'm afraid if I start really asking questions and thinking more about this topic, I'm going to hit analysis paralysis and never make a decision, because all I want to do is, get more data. And I could list others, but there are very real reasons why people don't think smartly like those. And if you can break down someone who's a basic dictator leader and basically doesn't listen to anybody, if you can break someone like that down and say, you will win more, you will be more successful, and your team will be more supportive of you, and you'll make better decisions, and your company will be stronger if you don't dictate, but you do a participative leadership approach that gets you to think smarter about any topic. I think I could probably invent, but in the interest of your time and your listeners, I won't. But I could come up with some other non-leadership examples, but those I know cold, because I've done that for decades, coach, and I've been enough statistically to say those are very real barriers to thinking. And the best thinkers are those that start with the premise that participative leadership is the best.
Okay. Is there any time that there's too many questions or too many questions to be asking? Is there any time or no?
If I go back and say, make the questions input to my computer model, yes. Okay. One of the keys to the process which again sounds overly simplistic, but that's the whole goal, to make it simple, is very, very clearly in the beginning, define your topic so that it's clearly understand what you're trying to think about. So okay. Many times people will say, I want to raise more money for the company. Okay, that's good. That's done all the time. But being more specific and say, we need $5 million as the next stage in my startup company to go from the product reality into actually getting customer revenue. How do I raise $5 million to give me a cash runway until 18 months from now so I can do that?
That's much better.
But the more specific you can make the topic, the better. I always use, since it's so visible in society and the world these days, but how do you get enduring peace in the Middle East? And if you start with that and say that's the sole topic, you don't get real far. If you can say my greatest thoughts on what might be the way to get enduring peace in the Middle East is to further question and think about the following 5 points. What is the impact on the lack of peace in the Middle East of disparate religious beliefs? That's one. Okay. Number two, how much of it's caused by exploratory imperialistic attitudes of the various countries that make up the Middle East? Some are very imperialistic, some are not. So you get down to maybe 3, 4, 5 of those, and then you then really dig in and think about each one. I've been blessed from college friends of people that have risen up in government. One of my best friends from Princeton was Bill Bradley, who was a senator from New Jersey for 12 years, and ran for president, and is a very famous athlete and Rhodes Scholar and so on. And I've had a chance to talk to him about his experiences of government thinking and or non-thinking. The stories, I'm sure we all have stories, but there's not a lot of thinking going on. There's a lot of input, no processing output. And a lot of the input is opinions, not facts. They're not the greatest thoughts. And I'm not unfairly picking on politicians and government, but if you pick an area, a segment of society, where you think that better thinking would help government lead and the people would benefit, I think most people would say, okay, they're elected and some of them have great backgrounds in law, but are they really thinking in the best way they can about what to do about the deficit, what to do about the border, what to do about Russia or Ukraine? Are they really thinking, or are they simply, following their political instructions? If you take the Senate the last 12 years, the Senate's been really close to 50-50. It was 50-50, and therefore the VP was breaking a lot of the ties. But if you look at the votes on 100 Senate bills in the past few years, it's 50-50 all along party lines. That's not thinking.
Right.
And then you have once in a while, I've forgotten the senator, Democratic, now independent from West Virginia, whatever. But all of a sudden, someone like him will break out and say, I'm gonna think about this on my own, and I'm gonna come back with my conclusion. And if it's the same as my party, great. And if it's not, I'm gonna tell people what I think.
Wow, that's good. Well, if you're dropping in right now, we are speaking with Dave Martin, the author of Mega Thinking Book. He's an entrepreneur and a CEO leader of 4 technology companies. And he's given us some diamonds and some pearls and some great ways of thinking that are different. And, I always think, I'm always thinking too, thinking is thinking. You have to really think, and what am I getting out of this? So I really thank you for this, because this is really good information. I know my audience is eating it up. And if you guys are you know, stopping by. This is a live. Drop your comments or your questions in the box, and we'll be happy to answer them for you. So now we're going to get back, because this is a great part that I like, Dave. I like this part because it's called the big ask. So I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to tell us what you think this quote is all about. Is that all right with you?
Well, of course.
Okay. So here we go. Ready? People who get what they want are those who make the effort to know what they want.
So I that's a beautiful exemplification of a question that requires the person asking the question mm-hmm. to also think about it before asking it. So you thought about that one. And I've coached not only a bunch of business and nonprofit leaders, you know, okay. more mature people, but I just love youth, and I've tried to reach out to anybody in my family, my friends, and even broader than that, people that were children of business leaders that I knew, and mm-hmm. and anything I can do to help guide them. And the point to your question is that many people don't think through what they want, and therefore it's too vague to act on. Mm-hmm. If your specific want is to get A in physics and mm-hmm. graduate with a 4.0 in electrical engineering from your college, and you lay that out, and then you say, how do I get the greatest thoughts about those to say, how do I do it? It's going to force you to talk to your professors about how do I get an A in physics, or how do I get into, you know, 4.0 in electrical engineering. It's going to force you to talk to your peers in electrical mm-hmm. engineering. And that's, by the way, that my story about my freshman year at Princeton about Megaceps and Greatest Thoughts in my freshman year, that's exactly what I did. I found a guy that had gotten a perfect result, and mm-hmm. he had a different approach to it than I had. I had 20 pages of notes, and he had five. And therefore, by being more specific, you can then get the input you need to figure out how to do it optimally.
Right.
So many people in life now, I'm sounding like a philosopher, but so many people in life don't set goals specifically in mm-hmm. enough detail to really then figure out how they accomplish the goal.
Right.
In fact, many just generalize and say, I've been dealt a bad deck of cards, and I don't know what to do about it. And mm-hmm. There's a whole psychological framework for those type of people that basically just never get specific enough about what they're dealing with, good, bad, or ugly. And so I'm sorry for being long-winded, but it's a great question, and it's institutionalized in so many parts of society in the world that the only way to deal with that kind of a question is to get specific, and the only way to get specific is to think more about it than the general, how do I get what I want?
Right. Exactly. Very good. I like that. I like the answer. You covered every base. So what are you currently working on that we can kind of connect with you wherever you are?
Continuous activity is mm-hmm. to be a coach to both for-profit companies, such as the medical company I mentioned, and for nonprofits. I'm involved with four nonprofits, and I enjoy both, and I'm very active in all. For-profit firms and four nonprofit firms that I've actively involved with. Keeps my mind active, keeps me feeling knowledgeable about things. The writing of the book has been an eye opener, it's one of the greatest things I've done in the sense of personal fulfillment, independent of how many books are sold, because I really felt the way I captured it through my coaching experience, I could provide some real value to whoever read it. I had a story that's so poignant. Yesterday, we had our rugs clean, and the guy who runs the rug cleaning business came in and said, can I see you for a minute? And I was doing something on the internet. And I said, sure. And his name was George. He said, my daughter is a sophomore in college at San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly. And she bought this book about thinking smarter. And she showed me a copy. And when she showed me a copy, I turned the copy over. And
it was your book?
On the back was me. And he said, is it really you? I said, yeah, it's really me. So I signed a book for her.
Nice.
And so this sounds overly exaggerated. It's really not. She made my day.
That's great. She's
benefiting. She's benefiting from reading a book to make her think smarter. And she already is starting to use the process. And I've told that story a number of times because that's what I'm trying to do. You know, this phase of my life is give back through knowledge. Give back through knowledge.
Right. Awesome. Well, we thank you, Dave, for just coming on and giving us this great insight into mega thinking. I think everyone is going to be changed from now on. And don't forget to buy the book, Mega Thinking. Simple and easy as that. Find it. And it's yellow. So you can't not find it. It's there. And I'm excited to, read it for myself. I haven't gotten to read it, but I am definitely going to pick it up. Dave, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing with our audience How to Think Smarter by Mega Thinking. This is Edna White.
And Edna.
Yes.
Edna, thank you very much for
inviting me.
And I have to say in front of your audience, I've done 15 podcasts recently about the book and other related stuff. This has been a fascinating one because your topic areas that you have listed, so many of them, are so different in nature. And yet every one that I looked at was fascinating. So congratulations, not only.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
But on the multifaceted aspect of what you're communicating to people. It's great.
Thank you so much. Well, it's guests like you that really helped me to reach out to the audience and share what we have. And because of guests like you, we're downloading at 47,000 a month, downloads on our audio version. So it's really exciting to have that. So look for us all around iTunes, everywhere, and you'll find us. Even Aunt Alexa, she could tell you to find Keeping It Real and Purpose. All right. So this is Edna White and my esteemed guest, Dave Martin, saying goodbye for now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke DeVard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.